Launch director on countdown one. SpaceX Falcon Heavy, go for launch.
Ten, nine, eight.
Side booster ignition.
Six, five, four, three, two, one. Zero. Ignition.
It's 3:45 p.m. on Tuesday, February 6, 2018, when the most powerful rocket takes off with all 27 engines firing. People gather to watch in person at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, while others like me pause the day to go online and watch the marvel of engineering that is SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket. I was so excited for what this could mean for space exploration. Falcon Heavy can launch about 64 tons into low Earth orbit, being about three times what the current biggest launch vehicle can carry. This means that the Falcon can lift into orbit passengers, crew, luggage, fuel. It was designed to carry humans into space and open the possibility of flying tourist missions with people to the moon and even Mars. The rocket's side booster separated from the main body and flew back to Earth, landing perfectly where they were supposed to. It was pretty amazing. The mission was successful, and Elon Musk's cherry red Tesla, which was on board the rocket, also just crazy, was sent into an elliptical orbit to Mars and beyond, playing Starman by David Bowie. So for about 12 hours after takeoff, you could see the car's live cam online, which I also watched. I couldn't believe I was watching a car sent into space with a mannequin driving it and a beautiful backdrop of Earth. It's the coolest and one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen. But space exploration research was not always this smooth and ethical. Instead of a mannequin, animals have been sent into orbit to test each country's ability to launch a living organism into space. In 1948 and 49, monkeys were flown into high altitudes, most often dying on impact. This continued on in the 50s when the United States Air Force created a breeding colony of 65 wild-caught chimpanzees for the use in the space program. In 1957, the Russians sent a dog named Laika into orbit for what they hoped to be a week-long flight. Laika was fixed in a cabin with chains and a feeder, but died of heat exhaustion after only a few hours of being sent up. The Soviets kept close tabs on what the US was doing. Animals were heavily relied upon for biomedical research, using mice, frogs, fish, rats, rabbits, dogs, and monkeys for countless of one-way passenger trips for initial testing. It's difficult to watch all of the footage of all of these animals being strapped in and sent into these rockets or into these modules. It's horrible. I'm Alejandra Hineo, a student in Professor Katie Sykes' animal law class at Thompson Rivers University Faculty of Law, and today I will discuss the use of animals for space exploration research. Although the use of animals for space exploration research purposes has decreased since the 50s, animals are still heavily relied upon for biomedical and research purposes. Animals have been studied in space, staying on their very own international space station called the Animal Enclosure Module. Animals are frequently used to study how the body reacts to microgravity in the hopes of us being able to send astronauts for longer periods of time to space. These modules is used in experiments that study the influence of microgravity on rodent physiology and anatomy, and the module is a self-contained habitat that provides its occupants living space, food, water, ventilation, and lighting. Thus far, this particular module, and there are several for different kinds of animals too, but this one has been flown into the International Space Station 23 times, with the last one being in 2007. So this speaks to the number of animal experiments that are happening on board the International Space Station, and that's not even all of them. Since then, the Maestro system was carried to the International Space Station, so this is another module specifically made for mice. And in 2009, they set the longest permanence in space for rodents for 100 days. And mice were taken aboard the International Space Station to study the effects of microgravity on specific body tissues. Unfortunately, three mice died during the mission. A necropsy revealed that one mouse had a major spinal cord injury that possibly occurred during the shuttle liftoff. an analysis of the feces of these animals in the cage suggested that they developed liver pathology, and that's probably why the other two died. They didn't mention the health conditions all of the other animals in depth, but they did say that the rest returned healthy. But even then, these animals were soon sacrificed to further study blood parameters and body tissue. So essentially, none of them, you know, survived this mission. Furthermore, from March 2013 to March 2015, zebrafish were taken to the International Space Station to study changes to bones, the loss of muscle mass, the effects of radiation, and the biological development of living organisms. The facility for these fish consists of two aquariums with a closed-loop water circulation system, automatic feeding system, day-night light cycle, and cameras. When you look up pictures on the NASA website online of this, it's very, very small. Upon return, astronauts were very proud to say that all breeding fish were alive and ate well during the course of the study. But the results of the study on the fish is still ongoing, so we have no basis to judge the effects on the fish conclusively just yet. Unfortunately, it seems fair to assume that animals will continue to be used for space exploration research, but what laws govern their use? Especially considering that some of this research are international undertakings with many countries involved in the National and Aeronautic Space Administration, or sometimes just countries doing space research on their own. There are various guidelines for space research undertakings, and they all sound quite great to start. The International Animal Welfare Agreement for Spaceborne Research on the International Space Station establishes a baseline level of animal care and use in space that all countries could agree on. There's also the Universal Declaration on Animal Welfare, which is a proposed intergovernmental agreement to recognize that animals are sentient, to prevent cruelty and reduce suffering, and to promote standards on the welfare of animals. One more is the International Guiding Principles for Biomedical Research Involving Animals, which was developed by the Council for International Organizations of Medical Sciences. And there's also a guide for the care and use of laboratory animals, which aims to assist institutions in caring for and using animals in ways judged to be scientifically, technically, and humanely appropriate, and to assist investigators in fulfilling their obligation to plan and conduct animal experiments in accord with the highest scientific, humane, and ethical principles. That all just sounds wonderful. However, this is not enough, and these guidelines are not followed, and they are certainly not enforced, especially when animals are used in laboratories for research purposes. In an interview with Joseph Bielinski, who is the former chief veterinary officer for NASA, Joseph recognized that there are no international standards for the use of animals in biomedical research, but that NASA's bioethical principles for the use of animals in space is a start. In 1996, NASA finally codified a formal rule called the NASA Principles for Ethical Care and Use of Animals. These principles have been endorsed by the rest of the federal agencies involved in NASA exploration, and more recently, Alex Dunlap, who's NASA's current chief veterinarian, and others drew up an agreement for the use on the station, which is called the International Animal Welfare Agreement for Spaceborne Research. And this establishes a baseline level of animal care and use in space that all countries could agree on. One of those principles notes that there should be minimization of distress, pain, and suffering. But I struggle with how NASA puts this into practice on board the International Space Station. If an animal experiences an injury during takeoff, and there are no veterinarians on board the International Space Station, and generally astronauts do not touch these animals, or they are being put in these self-contained boxes, who is to care for them and ensure and minimize suffering? Also, taking into account you can't go up to space and go up to the International Space Station and come back to Earth whenever you feel like it. Returning cargo is not scheduled regularly, and it's also incredibly expensive. And there does not seem to be any system in place to return one or a few injured animals, as they go in one contained animal research unit for long periods of study. Usually they don't plan for early return trips. Just like the one mice that I mentioned earlier that died of a spinal injury likely obtained from takeoff. This was not found until the mice was returned and an autopsy was done. Animals should not be used for space research. But if they are, the regulation should account for the unique circumstances animals in space experience and have a plan in place for which astronauts are trained for each particular species to minimize distress, pain, and suffering. Perhaps space life science research in the International Space Station may end up providing an imperative to further develop these standards for the care and welfare of animals everywhere else. I would like to end by noting that the contents of this podcast represent just my views and perspectives on the matter, and I would like to thank my animals and the law professor, Katie Sykes, and Brian Lamb, the director of innovation for TRU Open Learning, for the training on how to put together this podcast.